Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. And Sean, I have to say, we do talk about a wide range of sectors in our calls about every 2 weeks. This time we are going to focus a bit more on some precious metal stocks that you've recently written up. But first and foremost, the news of the day deals with the infrastructure bill, about a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. This is looks like finally making its way through government, even though it, again, has been a pretty slow process. And $1 trillion is a lot less than what some hopes were for how much spending could go into infrastructure. Sean, what's your takeaway? What's catching your eye about this infrastructure bill and what's important for investors in it?
Sure. It is smaller than was initially hoped, but it's still very good. And it's a big improvement over anything we've had in years. And I think it's a good move. We certainly we need our bridges rebuilt. We need roads built. We need the internet infrastructure built out across America. We need all sorts of things built. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I've recently put subscribers into some stocks that can play this. I actually did this on Tuesday because on Monday, everything in my portfolios went up, like just soared. And I said, well, you know, there's going to be some kind of hangover after this. And sure enough, we got the pullback on Tuesday, which if you think it's a bigger uptrend, you want to buy that pullback. So that's kind of what I did. So now we'll have all this go into play and we'll like see what happens. The next thing is they'll be ripping up roads and bridges. And so I'm sure everyone can blame Joe Biden for that. And, you know, I mean, I think it's a good move. I'm glad to see them get something through. There was some rather venal members of Congress that were holding it up. But, you know, all in all, it's a good bill that got done. One thing is there's less for electric vehicles in it than was initially hoped. And things like certain tax subsidies that were going to be in there have been delayed. So they'll still be in there, but they're delayed. And so that's kind of a shame. But, you know, we'll still see plenty of money put into that thing. We need the EV charging infrastructure across the country built out so that we can actually do the same things that countries like China are doing. And so that's a good thing too. So I have no real complaints about this program, and I'm glad we're going ahead with it.
Well, Sean, just in general, do you think this could mark the next leg higher in commodities? A lot of commodities have already had a pretty good year. We've seen base metals running. We've seen agricultural metals running. We've seen energy running. Do you think that this can breathe a little bit of life into a new leg in the commodities market? Or do you think it'll be more commodity specific where certain ones will benefit and other ones won't? What are your thoughts just in a general sense?
That's a great question. I believe that we're entering a new stage of a commodity super cycle anyway. Money's going to rotate around in that. You know, not everything goes up in a straight line, so you'll see money move here and there. But I think definitely those things like copper and nickel and stuff like that should do extraordinarily well, especially when you consider that the supply side on that isn't quite as good as you might want it to be either. So I'm really focusing on the industrial metals, the energy metals, the battery metals. Those are the things that I'm looking at. Meanwhile, gold slumbers, but you know what? Gold's going to wake up. We are seeing, I have to say, more positive action in the last month in gold than we've seen in a long time. There's overhead resistance. Everyone is watching. If that gets broken convincingly, then gold's probably going to be off to a great run because it's been held back for so long and it has some serious catching up to do.
So, Sean, I want to follow up on a recent article that you wrote on the tail end of that New Orleans Investment Conference, and it does deal with some precious metals explorers. More silver-focused here. You did cover three stocks in total, Vizsla Silver, Heliostar Metals, and Silver Hammer. Let's break down each one of these stocks, why you like it, and why you wrote them up. Starting with Vizsla Silver, I think one of the more well-known silver plays out there. The company has had a lot of success with the drill bit, drilling out this Panuco project in Mexico. And look, the stock has been one of the standouts when it comes to a silver explorer. Take us through some of the aspects of the company that you like and the catalysts that you see.
Yeah, well, one thing I like about it is, sure, you know about it, and your listeners, they're all smart. They know about it. Wall Street really doesn't know about this stock. I mean, it only has an OTC listing. So it's really unknown by the big funds and stuff, except those up in Canada that kind of specialize in this kind of thing. So I like their drill results, which are just enormously rich. Now, they're in a rich silver district anyway. It has been for a long time. But they're run by very smart people who have experience with this, and they have a whole bunch of drill results coming out. I think that's going to excite the market. I think that where there is a very good part of Mexico, there are bad parts of Mexico, good parts of Mexico, this is one of the good parts. And as more results of that 100,000-meter drill program come in, I expect them to be rich. I expect that to pump up the share price a bit, which I think is undervalued right now. And yeah, of course, it's like not even close to being a producing miner. I understand that, but they're working on their maiden resource. Once that comes out, that should get more market buzz. So there's a lot of good things to really like about this company.
Well, Sean, another thing about Vizsla, you mentioned that they're not close to production, but they do have the mill in place and they do have the rights to that mill now. So if they wanted to fast track it to production, they could. We've talked to Mike Conard on the show before, and his attitude is he wants to just keep growing the resources because there's so many other veins to explore. Do you want to hold them as something that as a play that goes into production eventually, or are you just most excited about seeing the resource growth on Vizsla?
Well, actually, that was one of the things that came up in our interview, which you can see on my website, wealth-wave.com, is that we actually talked about the mill. And yeah, they don't really want to proceed with actual production right now. They really want to grow the resource. I see them being taken out in the future. That's probably what's going to happen to them once they grow things enough, and that's what they're really concentrated on, which I'm perfectly fine with. It's very, very hard and very expensive to build a mine, but you can build a nice resource and have someone else buy it, and these people have the kind of connections that actually makes that possible.
Yeah, Sean, to your point, in all fairness, it is the exploration that has driven the stock, and moving into mining, even with infrastructure in place, is a whole different can of worms for companies sometimes. Sometimes on the good side, but it does also distract from all that exploration that clearly the company has in front of them and is encouraged by. Let's move on to another company that you wrote up there. That was Heliostar Metals. Now, this company, we've chatted with Charles Funk a number of times on the show. They have a few different projects. They have a couple projects down in Mexico that are more silver exploration plays, and some that are in jurisdictions and surrounded by some well-known companies, including Silvercrest. But they also have this Unga project in Alaska that they're also drilling out there, and they've seen pretty good results from all of these projects. What do you like about this company, and how do you balance out the different jurisdictions that the company is managing?
Yeah, well, I've kind of a funny story about that, because I got interested in this company through Vizsla Silver. I think I was trying to wangle an invitation down to Mexico to look at what they were doing down there. But, you know, like Charles Funk said, well, I have this other company. You really should come see it, because we're on the trail of a new silver district up in Alaska. And it's a part of Alaska that I hadn't been to before, which is the Aleutian Islands. It's a fantastic, fabulous place. And so I said, you know, that sounds really interesting. Let's go take a look. Now, the Unga project up in Alaska, it's in a very volcanic region of Alaska, and it's a past producing underground gold mine that was built there many years ago and operated for quite some time, and extremely rich grades. So they know they have gold there. They still have to prove that up, but they think they might have a new gold district. In other words, enough gold that it really becomes a like separate entity. It's going to be really cool. So that was good, and I enjoyed that tremendously. And we saw plenty of nice drill results. We saw what had been done in the past, what they hope to replicate, stuff like that. That's cool. They did have some drill results up there that weren't as great as they wanted, while at the same time, their Kumara project down in Mexico came out with some excellent drill results. So they said, you know what, we still have Unga here, but let's pour some money down into Mexico and see what they can come up with. And, you know, they have high-grade gold results, high-grade silver in veins at the surface. So they'll be having drill results from their Mexican properties come out soon. And so that could generate some excitement as well. In the meantime, they have Unga on the back burner. And, you know, they might really go back to that. The problem with Unga is it's so remote and just has such potential for size that it's going to take a tremendous amount of money. So I can see why they might want to pursue what they have down in Mexico first, because it's smaller, cheaper, easier, and you can still get great results.
Sean, when we have companies like Heliostar where they kind of have two different prongs going, and some companies even have three prongs going, when you figure out one that you like for an investment thesis, do you just narrow it down to one of the projects that you're willing to bet on the horse, or do you like to look at the cumulative value of all their projects? Because like you mentioned, Unga may be slightly in the back burner, but they did have some good results up there in Alaska. But the focus has now shifted down to Mexico because they are next to Silvercrest. They are hitting pay dirt. When you look at these companies that have multi-prong approaches, is it that one project that catches fire for you, or do you like to look at the cumulative package?
I like the whole package. I never like a company just for one project, because one project can have a problem, right? I really like this company for the management. They've had multiple successes before. They have very smart people, and they are very good at like raising cash. So you put those things together, and you can just see that they have success coming. You know, I mean, that is no guarantee of success, but they're definitely on the right path, and they should achieve something. I just think the way things are now, we'll see more news from them coming out of Mexico than we will out of Unga, at least in the short term. Even though Unga has rich district-sized potential, we'll probably get more news out of Mexico because, as you said, they have the nice drill results. They're right next to Silvercrest. Silvercrest knows where to look. I mean, I know those guys too. They are very, very good at like finding silver. And so right now, Heliostar is on the same geological structure that the folks at Silvercrest are, and they're getting good results. That just, it's just adding up to that they're on the trail of something big. And so let's say they build that one up and they spin that off, sell to somebody, then they'll have plenty of money to pursue what's up in Unga and whatever comes next. Again, this kind of management isn't just going to focus on one thing. I think they like to have multiple irons in the fire for a reason, and I think it works out well for them.
Also helps with news flow, especially this time of the year where they can be in Mexico drilling. However, look, the Unga project, Charles has outlined a number of times that it's actually a longer drill season than even in the Golden Triangle. So, hey, I do like the diversity, but I do know that also some investors get a little confused and they don't know exactly how to value those companies. Either way, it's going to come down to drilling success. Last company that you did write up there was Silver Hammer Mining, also, or was known as Lakewood Exploration. We've had the president, Morgan Lekstrom, on the show before to outline the company's focus in both Nevada and Idaho. Silver focused, again, the company has a Silver Strand, past producing mine. They also have the Eliza property and Silverton Silver Mine. The company really is focusing around some historic mines in, again, Nevada and Idaho. What do you like about this company, Sean? Because they also have a number of projects.
Right. Well, I like so many things about this one. One of their Nevada properties, by the way, was one of the big mines back during the big silver rush they had in Nevada. So there's a lot of history there. But I actually found out about it through Lawrence Ralston. I was in contact with his team, and like he just put the company together. I was so glad to see Morgan Lekstrom come on board, because he made so much money for my subscribers with another company called Katanga, which was a cobalt miner in like Africa that he brought from nothing to a multi-billion dollar company, finally selling that out. So it's obvious why they have him on board. They want to build this thing up and sell it. That's what the goal is. And they have the Silver Strand mine, which is in a part of Idaho, which is just so silver rich. The deeper they go, the richer the grades get. And again, they have those projects down in Nevada. So this should drive lots of news. Lots of news. Now, I think that they will build a mine in Idaho. That's probably likely, probably because that one's the closest. But the focus could shift depending on what they find in like Nevada too. So that's a thing, since you talk about confusion for investors. You know, having all these multiple projects might confuse people, but I just look at the real potential and also how well connected the management of this company is. They can raise all the cash they need to very easily, or, well, as easy as it is in the mining business. They have access to all kinds of expertise for anything they want to do. They have enough of their own expertise to pretty much handle most anything. And the areas they are looking in are silver rich, just silver rich. And so I just look at them as having so much upside potential. You know, I mean, yeah, that's actually one of my favorites, even though it's, you know, kind of small for now.
Yeah, it's earlier stage, Sean, but it brings up a good question, and that is they're operating Silver Hammer in Idaho and Nevada, which are two of the best jurisdictions there are. So does jurisdiction play into your choices when you're looking through the sea of miners? Because we've got them all over the planet. But Idaho, on that Silver Valley trend that they're in, it's very prolific. There's a lot of operators up there with operating mines. And then Nevada is actually known for silver, more so than gold back in the day. And they're on a very prolific silver district. So does that play into your thinking, the jurisdiction?
Absolutely. I mean, that's so huge. I remember one time some guys wanted me to fly to Zimbabwe. I got a project there. I'm there. You're insane. I mean, even if I liked it, even if I liked the country, even if I met nice people there, which I'm sure I would, the risks in that country are so high. You know, I mean, you have to bring the geopolitical risks into anything you look at. And some places, there's a reason that there's all that rich metal laying around for someone to claim, is because it's really not worth your while to claim it. And so, yeah, you definitely have to keep that in mind.
Sean, always enjoyable chatting with you, buddy. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on some of these stocks. Again, all of them that we have had on the show before, but if anybody has any follow-up questions for Sean regarding these stocks or wants us to run any questions by management, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will address those ourselves and also get the right people to get those answered. Sean, it's always great chatting with you, man. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Hey, thanks. You too.